Thank you for joining us on Pillar Field Talks. This week, I'm be joined with Chad and Perry. Say hello, guys.
Yo, what's up?
What up?
And I'm your host, Jared. We'll be talking about our pre-release experiences this weekend that we just had. We'll also be talking about a few of the things that everyone else is talking about. We're going to be talking about the Ban Restricted list. And then we're also going to tell you about our first experiences building and playing Little Leaders decks. But first off, we wanted to talk about some information that may have been on a previous podcast that might need corrected. Chad, you want to lead off with that?
Yeah, I had a mess of a time, apparently. One thing, despite being 100% positive immediately, the dash mechanic does not actually work to cheat the commander cost. This, you know, basically invalidates about, I don't know, probably 8 minutes of discussion that we had. And I no longer think that Kolaghan is the bee's knees. He's still a pretty cool guy. And, let me just kind of issue a retraction on everything that I said, during the EDH podcast. Except everything that I said about Yasova Dragonclaw, I still hate it.
What?
I mean, I played her in Limited, and it was fantastic. But, I don't think I even, did a particularly good job articulating just how strongly I feel about how I hate Yasova Dragonclaw.
For EDH commander purposes, yeah, right. Okay. I guess I look at her in EDH a little bit the same way I'm starting to look at my Koresh deck, where, like, if it's built around the commander, you might not have, like, a super great... I don't know. The commander can help, but it should never be the centerpiece, I guess. And I guess that's where Yasova's at, because last time I played my Koresh deck, I just got stomped so bad.
That was a weird game that we were playing, though. Unless you mean you've played it since then, in which case I'm going to just step off.
No, it was the same game you were in.
Yeah. I think I was also, like, trashed as hell, though.
I just couldn't draw any enablers. It just wasn't working for me. Mm. Okay, so you want to start off talking about pre-release weekend, and then we can talk about your experiences using Yasova Dragonclaw Unlimited.
Yeah, that's true. In the pre-release, which, I mean, I didn't do, like, great or anything, but basically anything that I shit-talked over the course of the past 2 weeks, I ended up playing. Because I pulled a Monastery Mentor in, like, one of my favorite Forge packs. And so, like, all I was doing was talking about how, like, mediocre I thought the manifest mechanic was, and I shit-talked Yasova Dragonclaw, and, though I really wasn't talking about Limited there, but my deck ended up being, like, Dragonclaw, Monastery Mentor, and then, like, every manifest card in Naya. Because it all triggers prowess. There's the one thing that we never really talked about that I thought that we missed on a bit, was the fact that there's so many cards with prowess, and the manifest creatures are both creatures and spells, so they end up working great together.
Okay, I can see that. That was pretty fun that, I looked at your deck, too, and I saw that you had, like, no mana fixing, which was a rather brave thing to still go Naya.
Yeah, I had two copies of the green-white gain land, and that was it. And I did find myself really short on colors a lot. It was really my kind of slapdash mana base was largely my downfall. But I had a good time, so I don't care.
Yeah, that deck looked like a lot of fun. Did you have, like, two wild calls in there?
Yeah, it was my promo and a rare. So, I once wild called a wild call as, like, the manifest card, and I was like, man, I'd really like to just have that one.
Yeah, that's how I felt about a lot of the manifest, is, like, whenever I needed removal, it was always manifested.
Yeah, I mean, mine were always, like, planes when I didn't have any white mana, and, I don't know, I still won the majority of my games. I dropped two matches. I almost ended a tie with that one drunk kid who was taking so long to play.
Oh man. Yeah, so sometimes drunk people show up, and sometimes it's not always you.
Yeah, I know. I think that Game Shop should just have two pre-releases. One of them only for drunk people, and one of them for everyone else.
It'd be so good, but you know... Yeah,
it's no fun as a sober person to play against a drunk person. Yeah. And if you're drunk, you're having fun no matter what you're doing. They can just give you packs of, like... I don't know.
Cold Snap?
Yeah. Cold Snap, RTR, Mirrored and Besieged Draft.
Man, that'd be... Yeah, the thing is, like, if you had a just drunk draft, right. That would be, someone's gonna game it by coming sober. They're just gonna act a little drunk, and they're just gonna be like, oh man, I'm gonna clean up and win a box, cause these jackasses can't play.
It's possible. They probably wouldn't, like, give it. I don't know why we're giving serious consideration to the all drunk draft idea.
Dude. Well, I think that the downsides of having to play with drunk people when you're not drunk is enough to keep people away.
Yeah, but the upside of playing against impaired opponents. Just like all of them are making poor decisions.
I don't know. You guys watched that game that I played with that drunk guy. It was not super fun. It lost all entertainment value after about 3 minutes.
I did not actually see any of that game.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
At one point, he just started singing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme.
That sounds like a fun story, but I'm sure when you're actually sitting there...
That was fucking miserable.
Yeah, it's bad.
Well, I'm sorry that you had to have that experience. Perry, you have any good experiences with your pre-release?
Nah, my deck sucked.
Always straight to the point, okay.
Well, it did. I mean, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it.
I liked, my decks that I built. For that one, Perry, you looked through my deck list. Remind me what my deck list was like.
Like all the good stuff in Mardu?
Oh yeah, that's right. My one pack of cons had a Crackling Doom in it. And I had chosen Mardu, and it was pretty good. I snuck into eighth place and got 6 prize packs out of it. One of which had a Flooded Strand, and another one had a foil Brutal Horde Chief in it, which I, just sold.
Oh damn.
How much?
$30. It's a little under what I was expecting for it.
Nah, that's actually really good.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Because I can take that money and get, like, 2 more Brutal Horde Chiefs and some other stuff that I want for some modern decks. Probably finish off my collection of Abrupt Decays or whatever.
See, that's fortunate that you, like, sold it at a time in your life when you could use it to buy more cards. When I sold my True Name Nemesis, I used it to buy lunch.
That is a sad story, man. I was living on the streets and eating out of garbage cans and still playing Commander.
2015.
Yeah, you gotta have priorities. If it's not a roof over your head, it's at least Commander.
Right.
Selling off my True Name Nemesis to buy myself some burgers.
I think it's that tacos, actually.
Now, I did go back and I did do a second pre-release on Sunday with my brother. And that one, I went Teemer instead of, you know, Mardu. I thought about going Mardu or Abzan. And the more I looked at the Abzan leader, the more I said I just didn't want to risk pulling him. So, I went Teemer because, in Khans of Tarkir, it felt really good to have just the biggest creature on the board. And bash into them with it because there was hardly anything that they could do about it. Like,
I mean, that feels good in pretty much every limited format.
Yeah. So I wanted to try to relive that. My foil promo was, Shamanic Revelation, which, actually did lead to that real feel bad moment. where I pulled it off the top of my deck. I had no creatures in play, and I just had to sit there and watch my opponent hit me with, like, that that Bird Scout. The 2-1. Just guy one. With right. Prowess, yeah. Dude, I got in this one situation where I mulliganed to 5, because I just could not get any land in my hand. And then my mull to 5 was 5 lands on game 3. And I was like, well, I gotta keep it. So, I kept it, and I finally was pulling, like, little threats, and he'd handle them, and then that game got kind of far in, and I had tons of lands, and I pulled a Shamanic Revelation, and I felt real bad about it. I got one card off it eventually, and it didn't make any difference. I lost that game, but, like, I did have a couple good pulls for that set. I got Alicia, who smiles at death, which didn't even bother trying to splash anything for her color, her special ability. I just ran her as a 3-2 first striker. Jeering Instigator was a nice guy. He just, like, popped out of nowhere and won me a couple games. I got Flame Week Phoenix, which was fun. And then Shaman of the Great Hunt, which he has to be answered when he hits the board, and most of the time he was.
Yeah.
He was a cool guy, I think, at one point. Yeah, the best I ever did with him is, like, I fought after a few games of just running him into people and, like, him dying real quick, I just left him back and let my other guys get the counters. Mm-hmm. And I finally got to a point where, like, I was able to activate his ability and, like, draw 2 cards at the end of their end step. So it was a fun deck. I had, like, a really well-constructed, but, like, I didn't have a lot of removal. I had, like, 3 copies of Whisk Away and a delve card to put a permanent on top of their deck, and that was, like, a lot of my removal. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that can work sometimes. But it just depends on if you have, like, the creature base to back up, like, just running off tempo.
Yeah, there was one amazing game I got to take out where the guy had Sage Eye Avengers. It's 4 and 2 blue for 4/5 prowess. And whenever he attacks, he can return target creature to its owner's hand, has power less than his power. So this guy put it down, attacks in, bounces one of my guys, and I'm just sitting there trying to figure out, like, some way that I'm gonna get over top of this guy, cause I know I have no removal that can deal with 5 toughness. So I have, like, a state set up where he attacks in, and I whisk it away, and put it back on top of his deck. And then he goes to play it next turn, and I get to cancel it. And that was, like, I got 2-for-1 in that situation, but it really took care of this thing I had no other way of dealing with. And at least I felt good for finding a way to deal with that with the limited stuff I had.
Mm-hmm. When we went over all the cards, we discussed a lot of them for limited, but we, like, kind of totally skipped the Legend Cycle because we did it in the Commander one.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, at the very least, worth noting that in, like, any limited format, all of the legends, like, the cycle of, like, cons are phenomenal to have around. Like, even, like, the black, white, green guy, who just, like, is just a 4/4, that ability is relevant in limited, and, like, a 4/4 is generally just good enough. It's, yeah. They're just all very good. So, like, having Alicia, it was really nice. I packed one as well. I got blown out by the Abzan dude in one game, and he removed a counter from one of my guys onto him.
Oh.
Yeah. I fell for an onboard trick, so remember not to ever take my advice.
There is one thing I was ashamed about that I did at the pre-release is I had to play against our friend Joe at the pre-release, and he always plays grindy, terrible control decks. By terrible, I mean that they're control decks.
Right.
And, yeah, I tilted on him, and, like, I lost because of it.
Right.
No, I actually played him twice, and he beat me once, and I just felt ashamed that I tilted on him for you know, I got off my game, and it was a bad feeling. So
you, You won that like round though, didn't you?
Yeah, I won the match that time, yeah. And then he came to another pre-release on Sunday as well.
Oh, right.
I didn't tilt on him then. He beat me for that one.
So what you're saying is that you are like the Incredible Hulk, and when you get better when you get angry.
No, I tilted. He put me off my game.
I
managed to pull something out of the match. The first time, but the second time. So what did you guys think of the Ugin packs?
Like all the packs that I ever opened, they're all complete bullshit.
We don't talk about the Ugin packs.
I got one that had some okay alternate art on like a cons card. One of the guys when I was there opened up the alternate art Ugin, and it's okay. I mean, it's not like drop your jaw, like I gotta get that now.
That makes sense. I actually like the original, the alternate art better than the original, but.
Fair enough, but can you live without it?
Yeah, I probably don't even want, Ugin.
Ugin! I do want, however, the alternate art, Grimharu specs. That thing looks badass.
It is, his Grimharu specs is just so badass. I swear I'm gonna actually use it one day. I swear.
Yeah, I keep putting it in tiny leaders decks and then taking it out. Cause I'm just like, 3 mana is too much.
Yeah.
And that morph doesn't mean anything.
Well, you trick your opponent into thinking that it's not the only morph card in your deck. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about some tiny leaders since it looks like we covered our pre-release pretty well. It was, we had a fun time at the pre-release. Probably do it again.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to, issue an apology to all Little Leaders fans who may have listened to our last podcast and realized that we never said the same name for the format twice.
Yeah.
So if you're a minuscule, generals aficionado, we will make sure to always refer to it as diminutive sergeants from here on out.
Dude, I did it wrong again just now. I keep calling it little leaders. It's tiny leaders.
Yeah, cause it's alliterative and like you want to call it little leaders, but yeah, it's tiny leaders and I hopefully will not continue to screw that up.
I guarantee you I will. So, listeners, forgive me. I'm going to call tiny leaders, little generals,
little
something
rascals.
Else. Little rascals. Little rascals. Yeah, all the time. Okay, so you guys want to, Perry, start out and talk about your experience with who you picked and how you built your deck.
Okay. For the pre-release?
Yeah. We took our first Little Leaders decks to a pre-release to play beforehand, and this will be some of like what we did and our experiences with it.
Well, I don't think I entirely understood the format, and I don't think I put together a good deck, but I wanted to do a Leisha with powerful human synergies, as well as just some really good cards with that have less than 2 power. So I'm talking about stuff like Champion of the Parish is a human. That's also a 1/1 when it starts out and then it gets increasingly bigger over time. Stuff like Banisher Priest and Sin Collector that are disruption on a body. And then just back that sort of thing up with a whole bunch of spot removal and discard. With that was the general idea going into the game. But I don't think I understand the format, like what's successful and what's not, because I just got completely stomped by JJ's elf deck and it wasn't even close.
Yeah, my first experience with it was just like, was also playing against JJ's elf deck. And I think that like, that sort of style of like, just, I don't know, like that style of like, trying to win as early as humanly possible seems like the way to go in the format. Like, cause I think that with the CMC cap of 3, like, slower decks don't really have anything to build toward, so, like, the trying to make, like, a deck that goes for, like, sort of the long game doesn't pan out.
Yeah. Mine was definitely supposed to be, like, as grindy as possible and just try and rebuy all the things that go to the graveyard and stuff like that, but I don't think the format's slow enough to enable something like that.
Mm.
And there's only really 2 or 3 playable sweepers as far as, and they all dis-synergize with my deck, so
right.
I don't really feel like flying them, so.
Yeah, I mean, I sympathize with you, but, I built Storm, so I was clearly in the win fast game plan.
We're clearly in the do nothing and lose game plan.
To be fair, I was, I lost every game I played. And I think I beat Jared in 1 game and he beat me in the other 2. I did exactly what I said I wasn't going to do and built a, Yusun, the Silent Tempest deck, packing Kiln Fiend, Weed Dragonauts, and, Nivik Cyclops. But I think all in all, those aren't even necessary. Like, you should just be able to play Yusun and win with him alone. And my, like, deck construction was just a little bit all over the place. But, like, when I was playing against JJ, it would be like, he'd beat me on 3, and I would have had him dead 4. Or, like, something like that. It was ludicrously fast. Like, it was faster than any game of Modern I've ever played.
I did not play against JJ's Elf deck.
Oh, consider yourself lucky.
I will. At some point, I guess I'm going to have to play it. But my tiny leader that I picked was Anafenza of the Foremost. And I had a host of removal spells in it. I had 10 removal, and I am counting Thoughtseize and Inquisition of Kozilek, because they are removing it before it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other plan was just to have the biggest creature on the field that nulls out your lightning bolt. So I had Luxodon Smiter, Wiltleaf Cavaliers, Anafenza herself. Fiendslayer Paladin wasn't too big, but it also has protection from the black and red spells, so I thought that was pretty potent. And probably a card that's never seen play before, and I'm not sure that I actually got to play it, was a Fleetfoot Panther, which is 1 green and white for a 3/4 cat with flash. And when it comes into battlefield, you have to return another creature you control that's white or green back to your hand. So, that was my plan. It's Loxodon Smiter with Anafenza, have a couple 4/4s, beat down, and then remove threats.
Man, I really don't think I've ever heard of that card before.
Yeah, you shouldn't have.
It actually doesn't. It sounds pretty good. I don't know.
Oh, then you're gonna love the new addition to the deck, Anurid Brushhopper.
Oh, that's from the Legions.
Judgment.
Shit.
It's a 1 green white for a 3/4 beast. You can discard 2 cards from your hand to pop it back into your hand. Just pick him up, put him back in there. He did some good stuff. I haven't really actually got to use him yet. He came in after. Now, I think the greatest play that I got to make in our little leaders games, was when you were gonna go to kill me, and you were... What were you targeting?
I always forget the name of this card. It's the flashback unblockable card. It's like a sorcerer.
Artful Dodge.
Yeah, Artful Dodge. Thank you.
Yeah, you want to target Yusun with Artful Dodge.
Isn't it Chuyang?
Suyun? Okay.
Oh, it might be Shu, yeah. I don't even have, I have a copy of the card now. I have a foil time-stamped copy of the card.
That's very nice, man. And it's good that you got it before actual, like, prices went up, because, like, they're, all these guys are, like, too much.
Right.
But, in any case, you want to, make Shuyun unblockable, and, I used my copy of Vines of the Basswood on him, and you couldn't have it.
Right.
It felt so good. And then you like looked at your card and it was a sorcery, so you couldn't get around it.
But yeah, I couldn't flash it back in response. What did you say? Because yeah, I did have you dead.
Yeah,
just barely. I had my storm count. We're gonna call it a storm count. It's a prowess count, I guess. With him, was it like 7? It was like turn 5. I'm just like get probe. I think, yeah, that was the game. I snapcaster get probed. Oh man.
That was my favorite play though. You're like, but he gets +4/+4, right? And I'm like, no, I didn't pay the kicker.
God damn it.
And then like the rest of my deck was just like utility creatures. I had like a Lotlith Troll, but, Pack Rat just because he'll take over a game. You gotta like give him the chance. Fleece Mane Lion, Scavenging Ooze, Voice of Resurgence, Kusali Pride Mage, Sarah's Avenger, Tide Hollow Scholar, and Mother of Runes. Got a Rancor. And the weakest card that I still want to play some and consider more is, Abzan Ascendancy. I just really want to play it. I really want to see how it works, but I feel like it's probably too slow and a bit of a dead card. Mm-hmm. But that'd be the one I switch. I guess my deck's a little weak to combo, if that's a thing. Like, you know, so far we've only played against each other, right. And yeah, yours is the closest to combo there is, so.
Yeah, well, JJ's pretty close as well, but like, not really, I guess. It's more of just a, it's like an elf value machine. Like, he just wants to produce enough mana that it can just pump all of its creatures into oblivion. And, like, it goes wide enough that, like, if you can pump the team a few times, then, it just ends the game.
Okay, yeah, one thing I was considering was, like, it'd be fun to make an Alicia deck that was mostly zombies.
Right.
Because, you've got, like, about four, zombie lords to get them all +1/+1, you can get in there. And then if they're in the graveyard, Alicia will help you get them back. You also get access to some of the black-red zombies that exist. Like, one I think, would be great for this format, would be Athreomancer, where it's, one black-red, yeah, for a 2/2 zombie when it comes into play, target player takes damage for each, non-basic land they control, and then it has Unearth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that would be pretty good for this format, but provided no one's playing like monocolor guys.
Right. Which I feel like monocolor might, I'm trying to look for ways to speed up my like turn 4 or 5 kill back. Cause I keep running into like, I don't know. I feel like running monocolor to get like a all basics mana base might actually be worth it, but I don't know.
You know, run some Omnath.
I played, like, Burn. I don't know who a good Burn general would be.
Yeah, I don't know either, because with that extra 5 life that you start out with, I feel like it...
Like, Burn will, like, poop itself out before it has a chance to.
Yeah, especially since it's singleton, and you don't get your, like, a bunch of 3 damage spells for 1 mana.
Right.
No, there are so many, like, there's so many efficient Burn spells out there. I feel like... Probably cobble together a decent turn deck.
Hey, especially since it is a 50 card and not 60. That actually does make a pretty significant difference. It's an interesting deck building challenge at the very least.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm enjoying it even more. Like Commander was real nice when it gave me like the singleton rule to deal with and then the color restrictions. And now this is just even more fun seeing like what stuff I can get away with within even more restrictive guidelines.
Mm.
Since you guys have left, I built an Alicia deck, and I've only got to play it against Joe. And it's a little light on removal, and I think I need to up that, but the creature suite is pretty fun. You know, of course, Mother of Runes. I have Warname Aspirant in here, and that's a real weak spot, but I think that the ability that no one thinks about, Warname Aspirant can't be blocked by creatures with power one or less. Mm-hmm. It seems like it could be relevant in this format. The only thing I've run up against it being relevant and theoretically would be Joe plays Farika as his tiny leader. And
also, he can... Right, the snakes.
Yeah. But I'm better off just running Anafenza against him for that, because I can keep any of his stuff from going to the graveyard. Chief of the Edge was a good pick. Pack Rat's awesome. Late game, when you have a Pack Rat and you just either get it in the graveyard somehow or just keep it on the field. Like, he did something to kill my Pack Rat, and then I attacked with Alicia and popped it out of the graveyard and then made a copy or two of it. That was really rewarding. Wall of Omens is in there just because I want them to find ways for them to kill Wall of Omens and then pop it out to get an extra card. I don't know, it might be a wasted slot. Salty Emissary, seems like it could be ridiculous just because you keep getting 2/2s off the top of your deck when this 1/1 dies. And then you resummon him back, we get him back into play with her ability. They're of course going to block the 1/1 because it's easy. You get the 2/2, so that seems fun. Azorius Arrester, he's just there for the utility of his detain ability, and when you can pop him into play and detain a blocker before the block step seems real good. Blade Splicer. I have Spirit of Endall in here because that is some cool unblockable tech. She has a Shadow, and she can also forecast Shadow onto one of your guys, so it's a great way of just making the guy unblockable.
Oh, man.
Every turn, too. Goblin Rabble Master, and I too also picked up a Banisher Priest. Now, the all-star I want to talk about in the deck that goes above and beyond is like Reconnaissance.
Oh, yeah. I'm an advocate of that card in Commander.
Yeah, well, being able to play this in the Tiny Leaders format was real fun, especially with Alicia, where you only have to attack with her. She doesn't have to deal any combat damage or anything, so you just attack with her. You pop the guy out of the graveyard, tapped and attacking if she's going to be in an unfavorable situation, like up against a 4/4 or something. So that was, every time that's hit the table, it allows you to really build your board state, because the guy you pop back out, you can also remove him from combat as well. Because he's put into play, tapped and attacking, and it just says removed target attacking creature from, you control from combat and untap it. So, it's just really, really an all-star in her deck.
See, I like the idea that, that there are, like, people who actually play this format, like, listening, and they're just sitting there going, like, these motherfuckers don't even understand the spirit of this format. Like, everyone complains about with Commander. just, like, it's like they heard about the format and immediately made, like, the spikiest decks, or, like, they're just a bunch of scrubs or something. Like, because we have no idea where we fall in terms of, like, how the format is normally played. And so, I feel like people who have a better idea are just like, the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, I feel like the format is just like, kill as fast as possible. Like, when all your stuff is like, early drops, it seems like it loans itself towards that kind of play.
Right.
I think it's supposed to be like, legacy light.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You've got all these, like, all the efficient cards are like, one drops and stuff, and like Lightning Bolt and Swords to Plowshares and Liliana. Like, when I was putting together my deck, it seemed like my deck was just the greatest hits collection of all the best removal that sees play in Modern and Legacy and stuff. Or as a really good player in Standard. With some cute fun-offs.
Okay, Four Little Leaders, I wanted to talk to you guys about this card right here and see what you think about it in this format as a piece of removal. Now, like, any format, I guess the advantage is to be able to play multiple spells a turn to get you ahead. And I wanted to talk about Vendetta as a one mana removal spell and see what you guys think about it in a format that caps at 3 mana. Vendetta is 1 black mana for an instant. Destroy target non-black creature. It can't be regenerated. You lose life equal to it, that creature's toughness. So, a little bit like Doomblade, but you lose life for saving that mana.
1 mana.
Yeah.
Right.
And in this format, you're going to be running, my assumption is most of the creatures you're running up against is like, are like, two toughness or less.
It depends on the deck. I feel like, if you have access to red, like Bolt and Shock clearly do what this does better.
Yeah, but the thing is you're still running into the problem where you have one ofs, and when you need multiple removal, you may want to double up on these type of effects. Now, I think the part I didn't notice previously, and the biggest drawback to it, is the fact that it's non-black creature.
Right.
So this is making me think that I would swap it out. I don't know where I stand on Ulcerate. Like, it seems like that might be worth getting rid of. You have the 5 extra life, so Ulcerate's losing 3 life to use it for a -3/-3 ability might be worth it. I might be testing that out soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably worth putting in, things that are either mono black or like heavy in black, light, like splashes in other colors, then, you know, it is 1 mana destroy something at instant speed. It's particularly good if there's something getting out of control. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speculate too hard on anything in the format, because I feel...
Oh, you've been... Now that you've been wrong about a couple things, and it's on record, you don't want to speculate on anything? No, man, that's what people want to hear. They want to hear you speculate, and I want to hear you fall hard.
Well, no, that's the thing. I love to talk about shit and be wrong, in, like, formats that I understand and know. I just don't want to throw, too much out there about something that I've only played a couple of times.
Nah, man, like, do it.
I did enjoy it.
Go for it. Get your hands dirty.
So I haven't really been thinking about it. I've left my tiny layers take it down.
I want 3 wild speculation cards for tiny leaders by the end of the evening. Have it on my desk.
All right. I'll, tack it on. I'm planning on posting up, speaking of things I was wrong about, this actually is going to be a greatest hits of things I was wrong about, considering the ban list update as well. I was going to post up my Dromoka the Eternal list. And let me tell you, really, really hard to make anything playable. I was quite wrong about that. I ran across like 3 decent synergies, and there's quite a bit of filler in the list. But I'm gonna put it up anyway, just because. Also, I really like the name I gave to the deck. Because if you're a fan of Sham 69, it's Bolster Breakout.
Chad, no one has any idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh,
he's man. Correct.
Oh, I guess yeah. We don't have. Okay, it's no punk rockers then. Whatever.
There are no punk rockers anymore, man.
Did that die out?
Oh, totally.
Oh, fuck.
It was a you had to be there thing, and then everyone else was. Just kind of.
I just bought Hardcore Logo 2 as well.
There's no such thing.
I wish I was kidding, but it's sitting on my desk right now.
Man, I'm gonna smack the writer in the fucking face.
It came out like last year. I don't know why.
Was it like the tattered pieces of the bands, try to put everything back together, or is it just a separate band that's going to follow the same story?
Well, I've actually not watched it yet, so this is a wild thing.
What's the back say? Give me the blurb.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, give me a sec.
I need to know.
All right. Yeah,
this is something you can learn on your own time.
No, man, this is on air. Let's do this. Hardcore Logo 2, give it to me.
It's the same director. Oh, Jesus, you've got to be kidding me. Okay, it's a movie about the director of the first movie feeling bad about his movie.
What?
Like, the fictional director of the original movie, right?
Yep.
Has since lived with the guilt of immortalizing Joe Dick's death on film. Yep. And I guess the movie follows him as he continues his career. That's weird.
That is. So watch it very thoroughly, because I'm going to be asking you for a review for it next episode.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Okay, but back to magic.
It's a good call.
Do you have any other greatest hits of missed calls you want to put out there?
Well, if we're going to move on to the ban list, then yes, I do.
Okay, let's move on to the ban list.
I would like to preface the ban list announcement or our discussion of it with a I'm very, very, very sorry to Mr. Perry for being effectively banned from the modern format.
Hey, man, I still got gifts. Still got gifts,
that is true.
And you know,
and I was playing Delver before Treasure Cruise anyway, so
that's right. I'd
still be able to do that.
You're an OD, an original Delver. But yeah, oh yeah, that is, I believe, the big news is that Treasure Cruise ended up being banned. Since this is a greatest hits of me being wrong about things, if you go back, I think, like, 3 episodes, I was like, I don't think Treasure Cruise is gonna get banned. I don't see a reason for it to get banned.
And then it gets banned in Modern, Legacy, and Restricted in Vintage.
That's the one I don't really understand, is why it was restricted in Vintage.
Well, because it's, essentially, if built correctly, just as powerful as one of the Power Nine.
Well, it's a sorcery.
Oh, ho, ho.
That's a big deal.
Three cards.
It's really not that big a deal.
I guess that they don't want you to have too many of those effects since you can play Ancestral Recall.
You
can't even mental misstep the Treasure Cruise.
Oh, that's true. It's misstep proof, Jared. It's a big deal.
Unlike Ancestral Recall, which isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly Treasure Cruise is just a much better card.
Put it in the books. Ancestral Recall. Not as good. Concept Tarkir Common. 2015. are you saying that it wasn't that big of a deal that it is, that it should not have, or it's not that big of a deal that it's been restricted, or are you saying that it wasn't that big of a deal that it's a sorcery?
Oh, it's not that big of a deal that it's a sorcery.
Oh, okay.
It definitely should be restricted. From the very little I know about the Vintage format, just watching the Vintage Super League every once in a while, I don't think 4 Treasure Cruise decks is something that format wants.
Really. It's the only place you can now play your Treasure Cruises outside of Standard and Commander.
You can play them at the kitchen table.
And I kept playing them in Little Leaders. Tiny Leaders.
Yeah. I keep looking at my graveyard and Tiny Leaders and being like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if there was a Delve card for this? And I was just like,
nope.
No, it just, what would be the point of like a 3-mana Delve card? It must have the worst effect ever on it.
Right. It'd be like 3-mana Delve, tap target creature you control.
I was thinking something more like blue and two, you delve to draw a single card.
Right.
Or something. It's a peak.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, at least worth talking about it in Vintage, because it obviously it is a powerful card. As we mentioned, yep. It can't be Mental Misstepped, which is like the like kind of go-to. Considering like 80% of spells in Vintage cost one or fewer mana.
I'm hoping that they give us a Delve Troll card for artifacts for Affinity, where it's just like a 1/1. That's it. 1/1 for 3 mana and has Delve.
Right. Oh, I didn't even see what that would fuel. Literally just there to troll people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's just there to be like, oh man, it's a free creature. Free creature, man.
Well, I was like, see, my favorite card like that is, we're getting pretty off topic right now, is, Scornful Egotist and the old, 8-mana 1/1. But he morphs for 1 blue. Cause he was cool because there were so many, like, cards that cared about, CMC, particularly in that block. And, it was just this weird enabler that happened to, like, just be, and like, they gave it cool flavor too, like, he just, like, he's really full of himself and thinks he's worth 8 mana.
Is that it?
He's an egotist, and he's scornful about it as well.
Okay.
So he wants you to pay 8 mana for him to come serve you as a 1/1. I don't know. Whoa.
That's a nice flavor.
Yeah. That's probably, beside the point. because as it turns out, Birthing Pod also got banned in Modern.
So I'll just repeat it for you, but this is my idea for Modern moving forward. It's turn 1 Mana Dork, turn 2 Rimaz or Lingering Souls, and then turn 3 discard. Glare of Subdual.
Oh man.
Glare of Subdual, is an enchantment for 2 green-white.
Oh man.
Tap an untapped creature you control. Tap target artifact or creature.
How did I not know this card existed?
This card just seems really insane moving forward, especially paired with Court of Calling and tokens like Lingering Souls. Mm-hmm.
And also Brimaz, of course.
Yeah. Brimaz was the one who really got me started on this idea, because you can attack with him, create your token, and then tap the token and Brimaz to tap down their blockers.
Right.
Huh.
Because, are the cat tokens vigilant or,
vigilant.
They're vigilant? Okay. Oh man. Dude, that's fucking bonkers. I didn't even know about this card. It's like a Mind Over Matter, but in Selesnya.
I don't know. I don't know. If your board state isn't set up for it, it's not good, unless you have like 2 or 3 creatures out. And on top of that, it's 4 mana. And I feel like if you're putting this out on turn 4, then someone else is probably doing something better, like, Splinter Twinning you or something.
Well, obviously it's not very good in the unfair matchups.
Right.
But it does have the thing going for it where if you have Lingering Souls tokens, you can do stuff like tap down their creatures so they can't attack you, and then use your mana to do like Gavinny Township shenanigans and stuff like that.
This feels like it would be like really solid, pardon the accidental pun I just made, but pretty solid in a rock type deck. Like, cause it gives you like a board control option, that just allows you to continue to just make like progressive, like individual hits off of their life total while you like keep their shit in control.
Yeah, that was my thought process behind this.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, what's going to be popular moving forward? It's gonna be Tarmogoyfs and it's gonna be Siege Rhinos. And there's really no way to play a creature deck without playing those two cards that allows you to trade favorably with those. So if you have this Glare of Subdual, you can just bypass combat altogether and make it so that they're never a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can play it.
You don't have to play garbage cards like Path to Exile.
Right. You can, it almost negates your need for, you're going to need, at least some removal because one, it's four mana, and two, you're not always going to see it. Right. But it is just another, board control option, and, it works both offensively and defensively, which is nice, and it pairs well with, discard spells and, cheap, efficient creatures.
Yeah.
I feel like, without it, you have to guarantee your own board state for this to make any difference, though, and that's something you can never do.
Well, yeah, you play 30 fucking creatures, that's what you do. Every creature can be used to fulfill this. If you rip a mana dork off the top of your deck, it's not completely useless anymore.
Right. And
because you can use it to take out anything that attacks you.
And on the turn that it came down as well.
Yeah.
And it just makes Lingering Souls, which is already a stupidly, disgustingly good card. Even, this is just another useful utility for it.
Yeah. And, I'm also, the shell that I build it around is, three of this card, three Court of Calling just for silver bullets, and then three Abrupt Decays, that I can just use to take out Splinter Twin stuff and all the random troublesome permanents. And then once you move the sideboard, you can board in stuff like Thoughtseize, and if you really want to play a Path to Exile on the sideboard, you can do that if you want to, but.
I'm glad that you've been doing something actually actively productive with your time. The deck that I've been working on, is, I'm trying to make a Skybind work. which, if you're unaware, is the, it's a constellation card that whenever you play an enchantment, you can bounce a, flicker, but the new super slow flickering that doesn't occur until the end of turn, a non-enchantment creature. So I've got three copies of Sandstep Mastodon and four Siege Rhinos, and I'm just this has gotta be it. This is the time to shine. But in order to trigger Constellation, I run stuff Courser, obviously, that's a good card. But then the deck also wants Sylvan Caryatid, which is just going to eat the counters off of Sandstep Mastodon and then not attack.
Maybe you can forego the Caryatid for just, Mana Dork? Just a regular one?
Yeah, just a Mystic. I probably will also run them, but I need more, enchantments as well. I don't know, I'm working on something stupid, as usual.
Well, you know what would be good in this deck? You still have a Dragon Claw. She can eat some of those bolster counters and take anything.
Well, the only issue, because I actually think that you might be right, that is, because especially at two, toughness. She should be a bolster target quite often.
And she has trample, so that's good for five, nine power after being bolstered by a Mastodon.
Right, but I could never activate her ability because I'm playing junk colors.
Ah.
Right. And I don't really want to forego the Siege Rhino in the Skybind deck. That just seems like a stupid idea.
Yeah, I feel like that you would have to really push this deck to try to get Skybind down on like turn three or two, like on three, maybe four.
Yeah,
you need to get it out early because like it's just that's a mana intense thing to do.
Yeah, especially running main deck Sandstorm. Like I said, I'm glad Perry's been doing something useful with this time.
How do you guys feel about the banning of, say, Dig Through Time?
It's definitely too good, but, you know, I just thought maybe they'd make more, they shouldn't cut Modern off at the knees. You know, like they should just keep adding stuff instead of taking stuff away. And eventually the power level will just be, it'll be enough to balance everything out, but I don't know.
No, I like that sometimes they admit that they made a mistake and that they will ban things when they feel it's needed. I like that they shake up the format every once in a while. And I don't think they've ever, and since I've been playing, I haven't seen them shake anything this hard.
That's all fine and dandy, but there's two ways to shake things up. You can ban stuff all the time, or you can just start unbanning stuff and maybe have things shake out a little bit differently that way.
Yeah, and they did unban a card here.
That won't do anything.
Yeah, so
conservative
they,
with their unbannings that they're not adding anything new. It's just going to be what it was pre-cons without pod. That's it. Like, it's going to be junk decks. It's going to be twin decks and it's going to be Tron decks and maybe a little bit of blue, white, red. But that's the top tier for now. Like there's nothing new that's going to be introduced to the format as far as creature decks go because Tarmogoyf just blanks every other creature available out there.
Yep.
Yeah, so now that there are other options available to go and do zoo deck builds.
Previously, you just
couldn't play creature.
Tarmogoyf is going to shit all over zoo decks.
He's going to be part of zoo decks.
Yeah, but that's like the only creature you can play.
Well, why wouldn't you play Wild Nacatl or some of our new 3 and 4 power guys or a Hate Bears list that can come in and take on like a third color?
Hate Bears sucks compared to junk. I don't know why you would play Hate Bears when you can play junk as long as you can afford Tarmogoyfs. There's really no reason to play anything other than junk right now. As far as if you want to play a creature deck, you might be able to try Zoo. Sometimes they have problems dealing with a lot of burn. So if you're playing like Snapcaster with your Wild Nacatls and playing Tribal Flames and stuff like that, maybe that'll work. But in the end, you're priced into having to play Tarmogoyf if you want to play a creature deck.
Yeah, and I can say that that's unfortunate, since Tarmogoyf's, cost efficiency is just way outside of most players' ability to get a hold of a full place out of them.
Pod
did was it made a creature deck that didn't have to play Tarmogoyf and was, you know, a relatively accessible route to playing creatures in Modern.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm happy about this. I mean, I just got the final pieces to my pod deck in the mail 2 days after the banning occurred. So I'm definitely not happy, but I'm just saying that I like that they're investigating what should be in and out of the format, and this will definitely shake things up. Also, I don't know if it just directly spits in the eye of everyone who just threw a fit and said we want a Modern Pro Tour. And now they're like, well, you're going to get your Modern Pro Tour, but it's not going to have anything you expected in it.
That's true. I think that's a very valid point.
They will be able to dig out their Modern decks from 6 months ago and play them, though.
Yeah. I don't think this adds anything new to the format. Unbanning sort of the need might have. Unbanning Ancestral Visions might have. There are a ton of different options on the ban list that could create a new archetype. Like, could you imagine a Tezzeret deck that uses Thopter Foundry and sort of me to as a sort of slow combo sort of win condition?
I can't imagine that because I lost to it when I went and played Legacy in New Jersey.
Yeah, like, imagine that in Modern.
I guess it could be a good time. I love the Sword of the Meek combo.
I mean, honestly, I guess a lot of people were kind of expecting the pod ban. I really wasn't.
Me either.
Because I hadn't been, like, paying attention specifically to, I'd been paying attention to, like, recent Modern events, really. But looking at the numbers, like, Pod was kind of a centralizing force to some extent. I still don't necessarily agree with the ban on Treasure Cruise and, Dig Through Time, though the reason they gave being that if they just banned Treasure Cruise, people would just start running Dig Through Time and there'd be no change. I don't know. But they did, on the other hand, unban, Golgari Grave Troll. So that's the thing.
That's a beefy thing. I'll be excited to see if anyone's using him, but, yeah. I don't really have too much to say about him being back in the format. I saw his price spiked, like, a lot, like, after the unbanning. I was like, is he really this good? And I guess the consensus is just like, we don't know, but we'll try.
Well, his, dredge rate is insane.
Yeah, dredging 6 is pretty crazy.
But, like, they need something to do with it, I guess.
Yeah, with that Cabal Therapy and Dread Return, there's just really nothing to do with Dredge and Modern.
Mm-hmm. They unbanned World Gorger in Legacy.
I could care less.
Yeah, I think it's probably the general consensus on that. I don't know if anyone was like chomping at the bit to play the World Gorger deck.
It's a lot more funny. It's a lot funnier than Grizzlebrand, but I don't think it's better.
Right.
What do you do with your infinite mana?
You play
Fireball?
Probably Stroke of Genius or Una, Queen of the Fae.
Mm. Man, I remember when Stroke used to refer to Stroke of Genius. Like,
I remember when it used to refer to someone falling on the ground when their brain was attacking them.
Yeah, we ignore that. That being said, that's closer to what, like, Stroke of Genius win conditions are like.
Flavorfully, yeah.
Right. It's just too much genius all at once. Also, I really enjoyed having people walk around saying that they got stroked out. It just sounds like a blast, really.
Sounds like something you normally need to pay for.
Right. We usually do, like, entries, like, 60, 70 bucks nowadays.
What?
What?
What are you saying?
No.
Chad's Sex Club membership is $60 a month.
Oh, man, you got a club? That's awesome. So is it like one of those, like, cigar clubs where, like, anything goes on the inside as long as you're a member, but you're not really paying for it, you're paying for the membership.
Right. The only rule is that you actually have to be smoking a cigar at the time. It's weirdly strict about that.
Tell me more.
About the ban list updates? I think we covered them all.
Yeah. I guess we're torn on whether they were good or not. Perry wants to see more things added, maybe them to, I don't know, Perry, do you think that they should be printing answers to the cards that they messed up on? Or do you think that they should just be adding other things to the format to make the format overall more powerful? Eventually that will balance itself out.
Yeah, I think I don't think answers are, answers are never as good as the threats. So I think just in order to fix the format, you should raise the power level around the top decks. And if you're adding enough new stuff in each new block and set and stuff, eventually you'll have decks that can compete with each other on a power level basis. And a bunch of new archetypes revolving around different sets of cards. But right now you have, creature decks revolve solely around Tarmogoyf, and like combo decks, I don't know, Splinter Twin, I guess. Like that's not fun for anyone. Like, I don't
Escape
know
Shift. Anyone Escape think. Shift's out there.
Yeah, Escape Shift's alright.
I don't know. My issue is that like, I guess Treasure Cruise was creating a centralizing archetype, I guess, or like, and pod, like things that were like, you go to a tournament, you have to expect to see this, and not only that, but you'll start seeing the top tables at like every event. Tarmogoyf is like, it's almost like a centralizing card. Like the majority of decks that run green and run creatures need to run Tarmogoyf. And you'd think like that would mean the creatures too like much for the format, but like Wizards is basically, by printing it in Modern Masters 1, said like, we're not willing to ban this.
Yeah, and that was another one of the huge mistakes that they made, because I listened to Mara's podcast on it, and they took it out of the set, then put it back in, and the guy who went and put it back in just did it by memory. And originally, Tarmogoyf was supposed to be just star-star, not star-plus-one,
mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to cost one green-green. So it never would have been the force that it was today if he'd remembered it correctly.
Right.
But now we have to deal with Tarmogoyfs and $800 if you want
right.
to play a creature deck.
Well, I'm not even like 100% sure that like banning Tarmogoyf even like makes sense in like terms of how the format is.
It makes sense in accessibility, I would say, because you want people to come in, you want them to be able to play, and if you want to play with creatures, which is what they want Magic to be more about, is creature combat. Well, the only way you can really play with good creatures in this format now is to be playing with a Tarmogoyf, a full set of them, and it just really restricts the accessibility of the format. If that's how they want everything to shake out, is it to be less combo and more creature battle?
Yeah, I can see that. It's, yeah, I don't know. It's just weird.
That being said, I don't want to buy into the idea that the only creature worth playing is Tarmogoyf. I think there's other fun options, but I'm like the brew a lot more than I like the win. So that's where I come from.
Yeah, I think the deck that I came up with doesn't want Tarmogoyf. But at the same time, I feel like if you want to win and you want to play creatures, you should be playing Tarmogoyf.
So I wanted to propose to Wizards that they print the card Nomagoyf. And it's like, I don't know, something like...
One in a black, when this enters battlefield, destroy a target, Tarmogoyf. Have it be like a 4-5 for 2.
I was thinking it's called scavenging use.
No, let's make it be like, for 2 mana, yeah, maybe like a black and a colorless or, you know, some other color combination. It comes in, destroys target Tarmogoyf. If it destroyed a target Tarmogoyf, it gets a +1/+1 counter. And like, it's like it's a 2/3 without the counter. So it can be a 3/4 for 2 mana, which is already ridiculous. But it'll die to Lightning Bolt if it doesn't meet its requirement of getting the Tarmogoyf off the field.
That sounds pretty fair. Like, in modern terms, yes.
Right.
Because like a 2/3 for 2 isn't even playable in standard. So, I mean, yeah, that sounds actually like a half decent idea.
However, I would have to veto the name because it sounds like Goyf was like a slur for Lurgoyfs and he's trying to take it back. He's like, nah, I'm a Goyf.
I Goyf.
No, my idea on that was like, it was like a nom 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 a Goyf.
Oh, he just eats them. Eating Goyf.
Yeah.
Does he, he should, well, in that case, you should change it so that it just destroys, target Lurgoyf. So it could
be. Lurgoyf is the name of a specific Goyf.
No, it's an alt. It's a creature type. So it would get,
really?
It would get Lurgoyf, Tarmogoyf, the one that eats lands. I forget, like, all the names.
There's some really bad ones. Ones that, like, you pay 7 for and they only count sorceries in the graveyard.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's more or less the best creature type ever created.
Okay. Did we say everything we actually wanted to say about tiny leaders?
Yeah, it's just...
I mean, I didn't... I don't... You know, we just played a little bit, so I didn't really get a good feel for the format as much as
I can't wait to play it again. I forced Joe to play me every time I go over, and he started metagaming against me.
Dude, that thing happened when I was playing Popper, and I was just cleaning the floor with them suckers when I was playing Pestilence. I came to one to one event, and Ryan had put, like, these, like, it's like a 2-drop white common that's like a 1/4 and gains you 3 life when it enters the battlefield. I was like, it's like the perfect card against me.
Okay, so, Chad, I know you fought against, throwing away cards on the last podcast.
Yep.
Can you do me a favor and pull out one of your rune marks from your pre-release? I know you've got one. Everyone's got like 4.
Yes, I have a rune mark in hand.
Okay. Now, look at this card and know that you will never get good use out of it. And you have dozens more on their way when you're going to be playing with this set.
Yeah, it's possible.
Can you do me a favor? Can you tear it into the microphone?
Oh man.
I want to hear it.
But this is actually here. Okay, hold on. Alright, yeah, I can do that.
Let's do it.
I don't know if you can hear this one.
Ah, it's all that I needed.
Oh yes. Man.
Yes.
That is rough. I did prove, on the other hand, that this was not counterfeit. Nobody faked this card. It has the blue in the middle.
Oh, let me check out my Abzan rune mark. Oh, yep, let's see that blue line.
Somebody's gonna get upset about this.
Wait, if someone is gonna get upset about this, then I want in.
You gotta tell us what it is.
Sorry, I'm looking for my conspiracy draft. Okay, how about Core Chant?
Oh, Core Chant. That's like the best card ever.
Go for it.
Alright. I'm not sure where the microphone is on my computer, but I'll just try and rip it as loud as I can.
Yep, I heard it.
It's a slightly bit crunched, but a definite tear. That being said, like, honestly, like, there's no video. We're not even on a video call right now. So, we can literally tell anyone that we're doing anything. Like, I'm just like, oh man, so this Snapcaster mange?
Dude, I'm just gonna cut everything you said out before that. Just say you going, oh, the Snapcaster mange?
Oh, this
goblin guide?
That's what the clip's gonna be called, is, assholes rip expensive cards.
you have to intercut it, of course, with some, like, incredibly unrealistic sounds. Be like, oh, it's ancestral recall?
That's what they sounded like back in the day.
Set of birthing pods?
And then everyone just kind of weeps a little bit who used to play that deck.
Right.
I was so looking forward to being able to play that deck. So maybe in a year or two when they unban it.
There is a one like major silver lining though for me specifically, who has never purchased a birthing pod before, is I can now get them for way cheaper for every green commander deck in the history of the world.
I have three available.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
I'm keeping my four. I'm going to just hope that one day they'll unban them.
You should, mail.
I don't think they'll unban them, but they will go up in price over time just from casual demand.
Oh, yeah, one thing I wanted to ask, do you think the banning of Birthing Pod in this set will affect if they are in, Modern Masters 2015 edition or not?
They probably had some idea that they were going to ban Birthing Pod. But
they were designing that set, like, a year ago.
Yeah, but Birthing Pod was a potential problem card a year ago.
Okay. I don't know. I think it would be a real fun time if that came out and Birthing Pod was in it, and then everyone just feels a little smack in the face.
Yeah, that would definitely be a definite. That would be super fun just to read people's reactions to that.
I don't know, maybe they'll just, in that slot, they'll take out Birthing Pod and put in the Gargari Grave Troll.
They're all, like, they still have the... Oh god, I don't even, like, Ravnica City of Guilds, whatever set it was in, I actually don't remember. set symbol on them. Cause they just, like, in a panic, replaced them.
Well, all the Modern Masters cards still have their guild watermarks.
Well, that's true, but, I meant, like, the actual set symbol from, like, Dissension or whatever it's from. Definitely. Like, they just, like, did it with the, hidden treasures in Zendikar.
Now, I can't wait for them to mess up and one day give us Pod and Bloodbraid Elf together.
Yeah, I had a really, really delusional dream about that happening, and all of a sudden, you know, potting a kitchen things into a Bloodbraid Elf and then cascading into Deceiver Exarch, untap my Birthing Pod and then pot away the Bloodbraid Elf for Kiki Jiki.
Oh,
that
man.
Would be insane.
Yeah, that would be insane. Wizards has made sure that we don't have to deal with that insanity. So you don't think that they're going to bring it back?
No.
Unban it?
I think they're more interested in banning stuff instead of unbanning stuff. And Pod is just so powerful that it'll keep spiraling out of control. Like, if
that's
they,
true. Like, for them to unban Pod, I guess they would have to stop making good creatures.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why they banned it, so.
Yeah, Pod is cheap, repeatable creature tutor. And that just proved to be a little bit too much for the format to handle. Maybe. I would like to clarify, one error that you made earlier.
What's that?
I looked up all of the Lurgoids.
Yep.
And the one you were thinking of is, in fact, 8 mana, and its power and toughness are equal to the number of instants. However, it has flying.
Okay.
Which is relevant. So if you're making Lurgoid tribal, that'd be the most expensive one right there.
It'd be such a miserable thing, because everything that enables them...
needs to be in the graveyard, yeah.
Yeah.
You could run it with that black card that switches your library and your graveyard.
I don't even know what you're talking about, man.
Oh, man. It's a great card, if I can remember the name of it.
That sounds insane.
Yeah, it's like a black sorcery that's like, put your library into your graveyard and shuffle your graveyard back into your library in reverse order or something like that. I forget how it works.
It probably says, like, exile your graveyard, put your library into your graveyard, then shuffle your exiled cards and put them in your library slot or something.
Right. It's very weird.
So do you think with the exit of Pod and these relevant Delve cards that there's going to be less emphasis on graveyard hate, or do you think people are still going to keep it around?
I think overall less, probably.
Yeah, because one combo deck that does appeal to me, because I think that it's really funny, is Dread Return, or Dreaded End, or...
Living End?
Living End, yeah. I think that that's a pretty fun idea. And if the graveyard hate is truly backing off a little bit, then that would be a fun deck, I think, to put together.
I just don't think there's any incentive to run graveyard hate right now when there's nothing it stops.
Yeah, like, yeah, I agree. Like, I think if you want to use a, like, graveyard-centric strategy, now is absolutely the time to do it. Like, try.
Even though they gave us back the grave troll?
That's what I'm saying. Like, try and make that dredge deck work now. Or, you know, like, throw together, like, a reanimator deck or Living End. Living End. Cause, like, yeah, the, like, I'm probably removing the, relics, from my Merfolk sideboard.
Man, I don't know. I feel like the format's too fast for Living End to do anything either. Just because, like, I feel like to be in a good position, you either have to have a handful of counter spells or a handful of removal or both. Cause I'm super afraid of combo decks and Splinter Twin. And if you don't have ways to answer those when it becomes relevant, then you just lose.
Well, it's worth noting that Living End can go off at instant speed. So you could actually stop, combo. Like, twin combo.
That's true, but you only have 4 cards total in your deck to let you do that. You have to be somewhat set up for it. Yeah, I guess you just have to have 3 mana open.
Hmm.
Yeah, Violent Outburst is the only one that's instant.
Right.
But and all your removal spells have to be converted to mana cost 3 or more so that, they don't get hit by your cascade.
Yep.
Well, I actually think that Living End is probably in a good place right now. Just because if Jund is truly going to be the big player that we think it is, then Living End absolutely just destroys that sort of style of deck because it's really hard to, you know, it's pretty hard for them to, like, out-attrition you because Thoughtseize is pretty bad against you, and Like, you're cycling your creatures into the graveyard anyways, and then bringing them back, and... I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's... It is not nearly impossible to, like, attrition a living end deck. Like, I'm gonna say it's a little bit inconsistent, but really, like, it just kind of depends on what you're up against.
Oh, man, I've got almost... all this, I've got basically all the stuff together to go for the Gorgodon deck.
Oh yeah.
It's so bad.
The Casca Balance deck?
Yeah.
At the field posts?
Yep, got it.
Dude, it's the best deck ever and you shut your goddamn mouth about it.
Yeah, I think you should definitely play that deck. That deck seems great.
I do have all the pieces for it and a few extras, so maybe I will.
Oh, by the way, the card I was talking about earlier is called Morality Shift, and the ruling on it is literally just worded, exchange your graveyard and library.
Huh.
However, it is not insane, because it is 7 mana.
yeah. Okay. I mean, I figured it was probably something really, really expensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. But yeah, it just, I don't even remember what the hell I was talking about it for. Oh, Lurgoyf Tribal. Draw one Lurgoyf, then Morality Shift, and, just have a blast.
Boo.
I like it.
Boo. Because then you'll get them on the field, and the greatest thing ever will happen. He will be killed by murder.
You'll have probably some cards in your graveyard.
Yeah, doesn't stop murder.
I mean, you won't draw out immediately.
Murder. Okay, guys. I'm going to wrap this up, okay?
No, it's not Wednesday okay.
No.
Okay.
You got to keep then you, going.
Then you guys... tell me the next thing on what you want to talk about. Ice cream flavors? The Magic Movie?
Oh, can we,
how much you love Star Wars?
Can we please talk about the Magic Movie?
Yeah, go for it.
When it comes out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're gonna do that.
Dude, we should just all go see it. Like, end podcast during it. Cause we'll be the only people in the theater.
That would be actually real fun. It was just like the mic picking up everything, and like hardly our voices at all.
Right.
And we're just like, oh, it's like the Super Mario Brothers. It's so embarrassing.
Oh god.
I don't know. Do you think that they could do a good job? I mean, we are in a good period of screenwriting right now.
No.
Careful.
I'm having all these, like, nightmares about, like, them staging these huge battle scenes and then, like, them trying to implement the rules of the game into it somehow and just making it super awkward. Like, only one side attacks at a time. People, like, inexplicably dying when, like, they run into rats. People taking out fucking elephants with swords. It's like, it's gonna be terrible.
No, I think it'll just be the loosest interpretation of Magic the Gathering you've ever seen. It will use the Planeswalkers, slightest bits of their actual backstory, and, some human from Earth that they've planeswalked into who's special, but they don't know why.
No.
And they whisk them off on a journey.
Come on. Give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt there.
I don't know why that's not the good movie plot. I don't know why that wouldn't work.
Because it involves introducing Earth to Magic canon.
That'd be a little bit good. I've never been a huge fan of Magic canon in the first place. However, I imagine that they're probably...
I don't care, but like, introducing No.
Well, what if it's like an Earth kid who planeswalks into them, and then we never have to worry about Earth in the storyline again?
No.
No, my guess is it's going to be real bad. They're going to do something where, like, Nicola Bolas or someone evil is threatening Earth, and there's one kid who can save them, but he has to recognize his spark and ignite it before he can do so. But Jace will help him, and maybe sexy flame-haired Chandra wearing a bikini will too.
I'm really just liking the fact that this has become a sequel to The Neverending Story. It's just The Neverending Story, but with magic cards. And then they use cards. And they, oh, dude, they should just make it like the Yu-Gi-Oh! TV show. Everyone, they cast magic cards, and then they actually, like, summon creatures.
The cards burst into flames, and then a dragon comes out.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. And also, no, that's all I got to say.
I think it'll be terrible, but not for the reasons that you think it'll be terrible.
You think the acting will be bad? Oh my god, they're gonna put Megan Fox in it. Those assholes.
No, I don't know about that, but...
It'll be 15 years before this comes out anyway. Megan Fox will be too old.
She'll play Mother of Rings.
Oh man, that should be our next regular segment after Nuts and Butts. We should start casting the magic movie by casting individual cards.
That's actually really good.
Yeah, I mean, without doing the really obvious ones, like the ones people point out all the time that look like celebrities.
All right, what about Ugin's Nexus?
Like whose rib cage are we gonna put?
Yeah, whose rib cage? I think Christopher Bale.
Right.
The Machinist could probably do that. Like,
oh yeah, that was one hell of a rib cage in that movie.
Yeah.
I was just gonna go for Shamu.
Oh right, yeah.
Okay.
The Shamu. This is why we need like a whole like week to think about clearly striking conversation that's gonna need to happen.
Okay, so next time we meet up, we're gonna talk about casting the magic movie, in the most horrific way we can. Or cast individual cards.
Yep.
And we're also going to look for some new tech for Little Leaders, to the dismay of everyone who has played it for much longer than us. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Pillarfield Talks and sticking around to the end. Hope you enjoyed what we had to say here. And if you want to get in contact with us, you can contact us at pillarfieldtalks@gmail.com. We are on Twitter at pillarfieldtalk. There's no S there. And you can come to our website at pillarfieldtalks.com. Thank you.
Tweet us up.
I give you, there's gonna be a poster breakout! Fight the breakout! Something I didn't do. And all I can think of, baby, I'm a good girl. It's not worry, baby, coming back for you. Let's see that scene, come on. Gotta be a monster right now. Gotta be a monster right now. Gotta be a monster right now. Gotta be a monster right now.
I figure if I say tweet us up at the end of every episode, eventually that'll be the thing.
I totally messed up my whole plan to say something about me being the best, or like a certain card is the best, and then that being our outro song.
Oh, I'm the best?
Yeah.
Dude, I just showed that to...
We have to save that for another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, remind me of that. Like, when there's an impressive card. Like, I don't know, I'm hoping... Like, Silumgar gets some good play, and then I can talk about him being the best. Silumgar. Eating shit.
Bar-dum.
Can't be targeted bar-dum. By your kills, fellas. Silum Gar. Sweeping death. Coming across. Shitting on your chest.
Sounds vaguely like a Black Sabbath song. Kind of like Iron Man. But
I think we nailed it.